Welcome to
So, I want to tell another dumb dad joke.
Okay.
This one I do take credit for because I made it up.
Okay.
All right, so what do you call it when your gum runs out of that minty flavor?
What do you call it?
An experiment. Experiment. But this is not a gum flavor podcast. This is Cinema Chop Shop. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Travis P. Keaton.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. All right, so we might have a little bit of a conflict there. And I am joined, as always here in the shop, by my co-host and co-producer... Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco, a.k.a. Lil Thanos. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome to the show returning guest, my sister from another mister. It's Doc Hillywood, a.k.a. Hillarex P. Keaton. We were hoping to be joined by Sean's lovely wife tonight. She couldn't make it. She's still up in Greenville. But her nickname was going to be... Casualties of War. And my lovely wife may very well be joining us here in a few. And her nickname is going to be Michelle J. Foxy. Michelle J. Foxy. So further description of the show is in order. The tagline at the top says watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies. Sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors. And then we retrofit them by tweaking the designs with new parts, a.k.a. actors who are at the height of their powers. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture. We're actually trying to be more satirical and ironic. We try to be funny.
And we often succeed.
Very often. We're going to go into our first segment now, which is movie news. Movie news is where Sean and I scour the internet and also the trades.
It was a full week.
And we try to bring you stories that deal with movies that you, the Chop Shoppers, might find interesting. So first up, we've got an RIP. Actually, two RIPs. Nope, one RIP. His name is Bingo O'Malley. Bingo O'Malley. He was a revered Pittsburgh stage actor. O'Malley also did occasional film work with small roles in Pittsburgh shot features, including George Romero's Creepshow, Curtis Hanson's Wonder Boys, and Scott Cooper's Out of the Furnace with Christian Bale. O'Malley died this past Sunday at the age of 86. So rest in peace, B-I-N-G-O. Next up, Robert Pattinson will be the Batman. Earlier in the week, or earlier in, I guess like a few weeks ago, McJunkin made some post about Endgame. He's like, I can't wait to see Endgame when Robert Pattinson as Batman rides in on Daenerys' dragon and kills Iron Man or some shit. But he apparently called that early. It must be all those cons he's going to.
He's getting insider info.
Yeah. But it's a fact. Robert Pattinson will be the new Batman. What do you think about that, guys?
Well, that makes him the worst vampire in history because it took him 11 years to turn from a vampire into a bat.
Shots fired. So next up, this is one that you brought to my attention, Sean. And the outlook is not good. What's the headline there?
This is weird. I was, as I said to you, sadly, this is not fake news,
right?
Mattel and Blumhouse are teaming for a live action Magic 8-Ball movie.
So is the 8-Ball going to be sentient or is it actually going to predict the future?
I don't know. I'm wondering if it might be like Ouija or Ouija.
Uh-huh. Ouija.
Like a terror, a horror kind of movie.
Yeah.
Like maybe the 8-Ball is possessed.
They've been doing the Hulu Into the Dark series.
Yes.
Like the monthly movies.
Also, it's pronounced Blumhouse, not Blumkin House.
Blumkin House.
But Blumkin House is killing it right now.
They are killing it. next up, this is a favorite of this week's stories of mine because the headline reads, Cherokee actor will receive an honorary Academy Award. And we're talking about one of the all-time big-time hitters in terms of Native Americans acting in feature films. He was in one of my favorite films of all time, Last of the Mohicans. His name is Wes Studi. Wes Studi. He was also in Heat with Val Kilmer and Robert De Niro and all those people. So this is coming to us from the Santa Fe, New Mexican, is where the article comes from. Okay. Wes Studi in The Last of the Mohicans. In October, Studi will receive an honorary Academy Award for his lifetime of work. And he lives in Santa Fe. He's a Santa Fe native. So it says, Santa Fe's Wes Studi, a veteran Cherokee actor whose list of credits include Dances with Wolves and Last of the Mohicans, in October will receive an honorary Academy Award for his lifetime of work. You were also mentioning that there's several other people who are notable in that.
There are. I believe that Gina Davis is getting recognized for her work
with the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award.
Yes, that's it.
For advocating gender equality in media.
Yay. That's cool. Yeah, and there's some other folks that, David Lynch and Lena Wertmüller are getting awards for directing. Yeah, so cool stuff. But yeah, I saw the Santa Fe thing and sent that your way because I knew you'd be thrilled.
Santa Fe. Shout out to my New Mexicans out there. All right. Next up, Bond 25 set blows up as stunt goes wrong, leaving crew injured. The most recent installment, probably Daniel Craig's last turn as 007. This is coming to us from Daily Mail. There was some chaos. There was a real tire fire on the set of Bond 25.
Well, it's not a Bond movie without a big explosion.
Yeah. So the thing I have is actually a video, and I'm not going to play the video, but do you remember what in particular went down?
No, I don't.
I don't either. In fact, it's probably not for our eyes only. Next up, the last story we're going to hit on this week is that The Muppet Movie is returning to theaters for a limited 40th anniversary screening. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about the Muppets, the most recent one. We're talking about the OG.
OG
the
Muppet.
OG The Muppets.
Funny.
Yeah. There was a recent category in
trivia.
Right answers with wrong drivers.
They drive a Studebaker.
They do drive a Studebaker. You're absolutely right. Okay. So speaking of things that are really wrong, I think I hear that phone ringing. It must be time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Going to the movies, I'm gonna watch me a lot of Keaches. I don't have a lot in terms of corrections, but I have some clarifications for you. Jeffrey Jones was Mr. Rooney in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. William Atherton was the asshole professor in Real Genius. And Pia Zadora was not a filmmaker later in life. She was a quote-unquote singer, though. That's it. See you next week.
All right. Thank you, Dana, for that. I do appreciate the musical rendition at the top. And also, I have a correction of my own. I would be remiss if I did not point out, and Sean pointed out to me, that my Rhys Thompson recast in last week's episode is not the same Rhys P. Thompson III, who was the little Irish boy in Titanic. But I had visual evidence to prove that they were the same person.
They're not the same.
They were just white boys.
Exactly. All look the same to me.
So that'll close the doors for this week's edition of the Department of Corrections Department. But that segment will be back because I fuck up all the time. Bringing us to the theme of the episode, in celebration of his upcoming 58th birthday on June 9th, that's just a couple days from now, probably about the time when this episode goes kerplunk. We're talking about the films of Michael J. Fox. So how do we feel about Michael J. Fox, guys?
I always love Dean.
He's one of those guys everyone likes him.
Right.
Find me somebody who doesn't like Michael J.
Right,
Fox.
Right, exactly.
He's a real all-Canadian.
Yeah.
Andrew! So Michael J. Fox was born Michael Andrew Fox. He changed his name later, and there's varied accounts of why. Born on June 9th, 1961 in Edmonton, and his father, William Fox, and his mother was Phyllis Fox. His parents moved their 10-year-old son, his three sisters, Kelly, Karen, and Jackie, and his brother Stephen to Vancouver, BC, shout out Buckles, after his father, a sergeant in the Canadian Army Signal Corps, retired. So his father was a Signal Corpsman. During these years, Michael developed his desire to act. At 15, he successfully auditioned for the role of a 10-year-old. At the age of 15, he successfully auditioned for a role of a 10-year-old in a series called Leo and Me from 1978. Gaining attention as a bright new star in Canadian television and movies, Michael realized his love for acting when he appeared on stage in The Shadow Box. Did you guys know that he quit school?
Yes.
He quit school before graduating from his senior year, and he said he regrets quitting high school as a, quote, stupid youthful mistake.
And he's made his children finish high school.
Exactly. He's forbidden any of his kids to quit high school for Hollywood, demanding that they at least finish high school and maybe attend 1 or 2 years of college, which is a pretty easygoing dad, right? He's like, all right, kids, you can't drop out for Hollywood. You got to at least finish high school. Mm-hmm. 1, maybe 2 years of college. Also, I love the caveat for Hollywood, so they can drop out for any other reason. I want to join the circus. I promise it's not a Hollywood gig. At 18, he moved to Los Angeles and was offered a few television series roles, but soon they stopped coming and he was surviving on boxes of macaroni and cheese. He actually got the call for his big role as Alex P. Keaton on the situation comedy Family Ties in 1982, but he received the callback at a phone booth, which is pretty awesome. He met his wife, Tracy Polin, on his situation comedy Family Ties. Fox started displaying symptoms of early onset Parkinson's disease in 1991 while shooting the movie Doc Hollywood, although he was not properly diagnosed until the next year. After his diagnosis, Fox started drinking heavily and later sought help and stopped drinking altogether. In 1998, he decided to go public with that Parkinson's diagnosis, and since then, he's been a strong advocate of Parkinson's disease research. His foundation, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, was created to help advance every promising research path to cure Parkinson's disease, including embryonic stem cell studies. So, plug for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. What else do we need to say about the man?
I mean, I think Sean really nailed it. He's just...
Everybody likes him.
Everybody likes him. And he's been in all kinds of stuff. And
I mean, he's he's, you know, Canadian American, whatever. But he's all American. He's the, something about him.
Yeah. He's the boy next door.
Yes.
All right. So with that, we're going to move it into our next segment, which is a fun one where we go around the panel and we each name two movies within the oeuvre of Michael J. Fox, and we call this the Midnight Double Feature. And so, Hillary, since you are our guest tonight, would you like to go first with your double feature?
Sure. I picked probably two of his biggest 80s roles.
Okay.
As Marty McFly,
mm-hmm.
Back to the Future.
Gotcha.
The first one.
The first one.
I said in 1985. These were both in 1985.
Marty!
Actually. Directed by Robert Zemeckis, 96%. If you haven't seen it, come on.
Since when can weathermen predict the weather, Marty? Let alone the future?
Damn.
Double damn.
So that's still one of my favorite movies ever.
Which I think is actually a reference to My Fair Lady.
Possibly.
Isn't My Fair Lady where the Cockney girl gets made proper?
Yeah.
Yes. Based on the book Pygmalion? Okay,
yes.
Good.
Okay, and then so I paired that with 1985 Rod Daniels with only 52% Teen Wolf.
Okay.
I love Teen Wolf. Yeah.
Teen Wolf is good.
I feel like those are the two roles that people really, you know.
And what year was Teen Wolf?
About 1985. 85,
okay. So he did still make movies while he was on Family Ties.
Oh, yeah.
But he did not come back for the sequel to Teen Wolf. That was
Bateman.
Justin Bateman replaced him.
I like the first Back to the Future is...
It's the best one.
It's the best one. So that's why I wanted to pair it with something that wasn't just one of the sequels.
Although it's not the best one by much. All three of those movies. That's one of those rare.
I could leave the second one. I like the third one better.
Where they're actually in the future.
I like
and the second
one.
And the third one's the Old West. Yeah. And you've also got Mary Steenburgen in there.
Yeah, like that's why I like the third one, I think.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's great.
All right, Sean, what have you got for your double feature?
All right, I went with two oddities of his. Both co-star Nancy McKeon of Facts of Life fame.
Oh, okay.
Joe Polnicek. The first...
Bless you.
The two of them... thank you. The two of them dated for about 3 years.
Really?
So during the period that these films were made, they were actually dating. Which I think just sounds like a NBC plot to, you know, further those television shows along. But the first one is from 1983. It's called High School USA. It is your typical high school, not a romp necessarily. It's not rowdy like Porky's or anything like that. And it's not nearly as dirty as Fast Times.
I just love the fact you used the noun romp.
Romp. But set in a senior high school class... Michael J. Fox, who plays JJ, pursues...
that was the name of my imaginary brother when I was a kid.
He pursues the girlfriend of a rival from a higher clique who is played by Anthony Edwards. I'll get to that in a second. Michael J. Fox, Nancy McKeon, Todd Bridges. Willis from... Willis Drummond. He builds a robot... A robot that dances.
Oh, that's awesome.
Badly. And also from Different Strokes was Dana Plato. She was in this as well.
Really?
Yeah, big time cast of the popular TV shows at the time.
We're going to get all the best stars of the best comedies. We're going to put them in one movie.
Bob Denver was in it. He played the father of one of the students.
Gilligan, right?
Gilligan. Yeah. And then also Tony Dow, Wally Cleaver. Was in it. And also the guy that played Eddie Haskell was in it as well. So a lot of has-beens or guys who are cresting off their careers were in this as well. But anyway, as I said, Anthony Edwards played the rich, entitled kid. And he was dating Nancy McKeon's character, Beth Franklin. But I did want to point one thing out because there is a monologue in here that made me realize that... that our president, Trump, is essentially every 80s rich entitled asshole. And I'm going to read for you now a clip from the...
From
the movie.
This is a quote from Anthony Edwards' character, correct?
In my Donald Trump impression.
Do it.
Beth, what do you want? Don't we have a good time together? We go to all the best places. I take you to all the best parties, the best restaurants. I introduce you to the A crowd. Let's face it, if I dumped you, you'd be a loser.
That's the quote, dude.
I actually feel like what the fuck just happened. Was Donald Trump in the room with us? Yes, Trump head.
The Donald Trump squeeze toy is levitating on its own now. All right, so moving on. I paired that with 1985's Poison Ivy.
Okay, this is not the soft core.
This is not the soft core Drew Barrymore thing, no. This is essentially, it's like the movie Meatballs. Without comedy.
And without Bill Murray.
They were really trying hard to be funny. Robert Klein was
But they did not succeed?
They did not succeed. It is not a funny film. It is a bore. But I had to put it in there just because of the pairing of the two. Also, again, playing off the whole television popularity. Two teenage summer camp counselors struggle with their younger campers, providing a variety of humorous situations and romantic encounters. I think where the film went wrong, it focused way too much on the children. This was a made-for-TV film.
Were they close romantic encounters?
No, not
of
really.
Of the third kind?
No. Oh, and Adam Baldwin's in this.
Okay,
Not one of the Baldwin brothers.
But he is in the recent movie The Kid, which I may reference or may
And he was in the TV. He was in the TV show Firefly.
Yep.
And he played...
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he was the big dude. He was the straight-laced camp counselor who was always killing everybody's fun. And as I mentioned, Robert Klein, the beautiful Karen Kay. If you don't know her work, you should look it up. And it's a bad movie. Don't watch that one. It's not a recommend.
Not a recommend.
High School USA is really not a recommend either, although it does have that camp quality of all of these TV personalities that you're familiar with.
And Hillary, we forgot to ask you, your movies, are they recommends or no?
I mean, Back to the Future, yes. I mean, okay. For me, there is a bit of nostalgia involved.
Of course. It's a classic.
I think Joey Poole had never seen it growing up. And
there's so many gaps in his
30-something his movie history. Yeah, and was like, eh. And we thought maybe it doesn't hold up for everyone, but since it's so well spread, I mean, I think
Teen Wolf's a recommend too.
I think they're both recommends.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I prefer the former to the latter, but yeah, sure. Especially since there's a TV show out now, Teen Wolf.
There is. That's true. Yeah. All right. So my midnight double feature, the connective tissue is very tenuous or sinuous. I went with two movies that both came out in 1993, and probably the reason that I associate these two so closely together is because they came out so closely together, and also because I was 13 and I was just kind of starting to really delve into movie watching. The first one is called Life with Mikey, and it was directed by James Lapine. He was the writer of Into the Woods, both the story and the play and the movie. It's only got a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it stars Michael J. Fox as Mikey Chapman, who's a former child star turned Hollywood agent. And he discovers a new talent named Angie Vega, who's played by Christina Vidal in her first movie. And basically, together, they try to hit it big and earn her a role in a series of television commercials. It's also starring Nathan Lane and Cyndi Lauper.
Ooh.
All right. So I'm pairing that with, also from 1993, it's called For Love or Money. And it's directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who also did Get Shorty, Men in Black 1, 2, and 3, and also Wild Wild West. And this one has a little bit better rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a 32%. And the character played by Michael J. Fox is named Doug Ireland. And he's a concierge at the Bradbury Hotel in New York City. And he's very well connected. He's always hooking up the guests with tickets and backstage passes and things like that. Especially people like Harry Wegman. Doug's dream is to open his own hotel.
Harry Wegman.
Yeah, on Roosevelt Island. He saved up every cent to begin to obtain an option on an old hotel. But he has only a few weeks to begin development and needs at least $3 million immediately to start, or the development will go back to the city. His best chance is a guy named Christian Hanover, who's unscrupulous. He's a billionaire, much like Sean's recent impression. And Doug is asked by Christian to, quote, take care of his mistress, played by Andy Hart. She's a perfume saleswoman. Doug spends time with her, and they eventually make a connection. So he has to choose between love or money.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's going to be my midnight double feature. And I can't solidly recommend either of them. They have a special spot for me.
I remember Life with Mikey when I was a kid, watching that a lot.
All right. So shall we move it on?
Move it.
Move it.
Okay. So next up, we've got our feature segment, which is the recast. And this is where we take a movie within Michael J. Fox's catalog, and we hypothetically recast a few of the main roles with contemporary actors. And first up, we're going with a movie from 1988, and it was directed by James Bridges, who also did Urban Cowboy, The China Syndrome, and others. It's got a 63% on Rotten Tomato. We're talking Bright Lights, Big City. Sean, what did you think of this movie?
It had promise. I would imagine that the novel, by J.
McInerney.
I imagine that the book is better. I can see.
I might have read the book.
Feel like some of his little monologues would have gone over much better in a book instead of the way they kind of played out.
Yeah. And I think that also, this is one of those moment in time type stories where the me generation of the 80s living the fast life in the 80s and doing drugs and all this
stuff.
It's kind of balanced on the head of a pin, whereas it doesn't really it doesn't have a whole lot of relevance to a lot of us anymore.
Because no. I mean, back then they thought cocaine was vitamins.
Those days were long gone. Exactly. Yes. So I think a lot of the entertainment value kind of faded with time.
So it may very well be the douchiest role that Michael J. Fox has ever played. He's only out-douched by Kiefer Sutherland.
I'm saying, but I didn't think he was even, like, that big of a douche. You know what I mean? Like, for a douchey guy that he was supposed to be, he could have been douchier.
Well, we have some interesting things about this film to talk about, besides the plot.
Yeah, the plot being a disillusioned young writer living in New York City, fresh out of Kansas, turns to drugs and drinking to block out the memories of his dead mother and estranged wife. All right, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 roles that we're going to recast. First is Jamie Conway, the young disillusioned writer, and he's played by Michael J. Fox, who was 26 at the time. Then we've got, I guess, his closest friend,
sure.
Tad Allegash, who's played by Kiefer Sutherland, who was 22 at the time. Then we've got Swoozie Kurtz, in a really, really cool role. She is the...
I thought we were doing Phoebe Cates.
No, we switched it. Sorry.
You can do your Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, she'll do Phoebe Cates instead. So Swoozie Kurtz is the receptionist / secretary for the department that they work in, the fact-checking department. Is that right?
Yeah.
And she's always got his back.
Yeah, yeah. She's really... She's kind of mothering him, which I thought was a neat role considering his relationship with his mother.
Right.
But then he kind of gets all Oedipal...
Yeah, yes, he does. Speaking of his mother, Mrs. Conway was played by Diane Wiest, one of Sean's favorites. She was 42 at the time. So let's go ahead and get into...
Let me talk about the movie real quick.
Do it.
A couple of things. Music was by Donald Fagen, lead singer and keyboardist for Steely Dan.
Steely Dan.
There was a bouncer at the fashion show. I thought that was odd. Remember, he went in to try to, he tried to catch up with his estranged wife, and there was a literal bouncer there to throw
was
him out.
Was it in Paris, though?
No, it was in New York.
Wasn't the wife in... Okay, no, she was back in town, right.
David Hyde Pierce played the bartender at the fashion show.
Okay.
That's a strange little bit. The guy who played his brother, Charlie Schlatter, was the actor's name. This is Michael J. Fox's brother who's calling him the whole movie. And he
The younger brother.
All right, so... Backing up a little bit, we were talking about this in trivia. Michael J. Fox was up for the role of Ferris Bueller in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm. And
he turned it down because he...
No, it's the other way around.
I'm sorry.
Matthew Broderick was up for the role in Family Ties. He turned it down. He didn't want a long-term television commitment.
Okay. Fast forward, Michael J. Fox was considered for the role of Ferris Bueller, and he turned it down for much the same reason. The Charlie Schlatter guy, the guy who played his brother, played Ferris Bueller in the TV version.
Oh, whoa.
The very short-lived TV series.
The one that was contemporaneous to, we've talked about it before, that other Parker Lewis can't lose.
Yes, exactly.
Parker Lewis.
So there's a connection. Also, Michael J. Fox dated Sarah Jessica Parker,
mm-hmm.
who is married
to Matthew Broderick.
And he also dated Jennifer Grey, who played... Jeannie Bueller,
older sister.
So he is really tied to that film in more ways than one.
It begs the question, are Michael J. Fox and Matthew Broderick the same person?
No.
Or is he employing time travel with Doc Brown to fuck around with this? Anyway,
88 miles per hour, Marty!
Let's do it.
All right, so first up, we've got Jamie Conway. He was portrayed by Michael J. Fox. He was 26 at the time. And Hillary?
Yeah, sure.
Guests and ladies first.
I'd love to go. I picked Tom Holland, who's not quite the same age.
No, but he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, he is Spider-Man, and he is said to have based his Spider-Man performance somewhat on Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Kind of that energetic...
I can see that. I've never thought about that before, but I can see it.
Energy he has, and specifically maybe Back to the Future, you know? So I thought that was a neat little connection. But also, they're just kind of... I mean, Michael J. Fox almost didn't pull this role off because of his softness, so, I mean...
Shots fired.
Well, I mean, I don't...
No, I agree.
I think he called him soft.
No, I think you're right. I think that's part of the reason this didn't really land like it was supposed to, is that we like Michael J. Fox, and you're not supposed to really like this guy.
Yeah, the character, that's what I mean. Like, he's Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. He's still likable for me, but that's what I... How do you replace him with a douchebag, though?
You can't.
All right, so for my recast, as I said, I think that this movie is kind of... hasn't aged well thematically. Mm-hmm. So,
no, you're right.
In honor of Pride Month, I'm going with characters who are a little bit more focused on their gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of becomes a theme in this film to me. So,
okay.
So in addition to drug use and other things, that's going to play out. So, for my Michael J. Fox role, I picked someone who is also 27 years old. He was in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which really inspired me to make the pick. But he's also in Justice League as The Flash. It's Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller, who really likes to play out the fact that he is a little bit odd and curious. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I've picked him before.
Me too.
And he killed it at the Met Gala. But.
Oh, really? The Met Gala?
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yes, he did.
The eyeballs.
Yep.
All right, so I do have a theme with my picks, and we'll see. Sean already knows it, but we'll see if Hillary picks up on it. My first actor for Michael J. Fox is 32 now. She was in Glee. She's in Buster and Chauncey's Silent Night, and she also plays Dorothy Gale in Legend of Oz, Dorothy's Return. She's the voice actress in that. Her name is Leah Michelle. Leah Michelle is going to be my Michelle J. Foxy.
Okay.
Jamie Conway could be a girl's name, too.
You're right.
All right. So next up, we've got...
Tad Allegash.
The even more douchebaggy Tad Allegash, played by Kiefer Sutherland, who was 22 at the time. And Hillary, who do you have for that?
This is terrible. I didn't do too far of a stretch with Kiefer. I went Nick Stahl,
who I believe
is acting. They're a bit similar in look, but...
The Man Without a Face?
Yeah. Yes. He's Sin City, In the Bedroom, Carnival.
Has he done anything lately?
He's been kind of strung out on drugs.
Oh, okay.
And had some issues.
But that fits perfectly for this role.
Well, that's what I mean. He always had that grittiness. I loved him in Bully. Clark film was heartbreaking, but so good.
With the late
Brad Renfro. Yes.
Rest in peace.
But he kind of has that Kieferness.
Oh, for sure.
About him.
Definitely. So. He reminds me a little bit of an older Dane DeHaan. A little bit. Dane DeHaan is in Valerian and The Thousand Planets. He's also in The Kid, the most recent thing. All right, so Sean, who's going to be your Tad?
So I went with someone who is 31 years old. Kiefer was 22.
That's kind of crazy.
But this guy's 31 years old. He is an openly gay actor, and he was in Rough Night, San Andreas, Teen Wolf, speaking of.
The show. Okay.
And he plays Roy Harper in the CW show Arrow. His name's Colton Haynes. Colton Haynes.
Yeah, I've used him before, too. When you have almost 100 episodes under your belt, you might double dip a couple times.
I picked him specifically, I think, at the time because he was a gay actor.
Mm-hmm. All right, my Tad Allegash is 34 now. Her name is going to be Taddy Allegash, and she is in Austin Powers Goldmember. She's also in a movie called So Undercover, and she plays post-makeover Dorothy Gale in The Muppets Wizard of Oz. Her name is Kelly Osbourne. Kelly Osbourne, also the daughter of Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne.
Nice.
All right, next up, we've got the role of Megan, played by Susie Kurtz, who was 43 at the time. And she's a very likable character in most things that she's in, I think. Wouldn't you say, Sean?
Yeah, she's a super likable actress.
I've heard that name before, and I've seen her face, but I never associated the two. So I guess what I'm saying is I didn't really know who she was until this week. But now looking back, she's very affable.
Very much so. Very accomplished. So I'll go, since you're going to go with the Phoebe Cates recast after we're done. So my actress is a devout defender of the LGBTQ community. And she was in 12 Years a Slave, She was in Serenity, speaking of Adam Baldwin earlier. American Crime Story, American Horror Story. Everyone knows her from that. Her name is Sarah Paulson.
Love her.
Sarah Paulson is so good.
She's great, yeah.
All right. Hillary, you are recasting a different role. You're recasting the estranged woman. No, I already did mine on this.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give us your Phoebe Cates.
But fine. Yeah. Phoebe Cates was his estranged wife.
Yeah, and who did you recast, Hillary?
Okay, so Phoebe Cates was rocking the pixie cut pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And some shoulder pads.
I went with someone who is older than my Tom Holland, but someone who could rock the pixie cut and is very in Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, nice. I love her. So I actually did not give my pick for Susie Kurtz.
But that's okay.
My actress is 38 now. She was in Brokeback Mountain. She's also in Manchester by the Sea. And she plays Glinda in Oz the Great and Powerful. Her name is Michelle Williams.
Love Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams. Not the same girl from Destiny's Child. Different Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So next, we've got the role of Mrs. Conway, who's only seen in flashbacks and fever dreams.
And then she has about 10 minutes of lines at the end.
And so she was played by Diane Wiest, who was 42 at the time. And Hillary, you do have a recast for this, correct?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I actually shot Michelle Williams for this role.
Yeah, I did too. It was difficult.
They look so similar. But I went with, and I'm going to say her name wrong, Ellen Pompeo.
You said it right.
You did.
Because she looks like her to me. And
a little bit of a face value pick.
Hard person to recast. She's got that
Her Grey's
voice.
Anatomy is similar.
Yeah, well.
Her face anatomy.
Her face anatomy, yeah. But that soft voice, they do kind of sound similar.
Yeah.
And age appropriate.
Gotcha.
I like that.
She was my pick to play the Kathleen Turner role in the recast of War of the Roses.
Gotcha.
And I picked McDreamy for the Michael Douglas role.
Nice.
So there.
You did that really?
I did that really. Yes. All right, Sean, who's going to be your Mrs. Conway?
So Diane Wiest was 40, right?
42.
At the time. 40, 42?
I've got 42.
I had her at 40, but either way, a 27-year-old Michael J. Fox, she would have been 13 or 15 years old when she had him.
She would have been quite young.
But,
I think her character was supposed to be a little bit older.
I know. Agreed. I just thought that was kind of funny. I went with someone who is age-appropriate to this role, and she has always championed and worn her gender ambiguity as a badge of honor. She was in Snowpiercer. She was in Suspiria. She was in the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes.
She was in an Avengers film. She was in Doctor Strange. It was Tilda Swinton.
Yes.
Tilda Swinton will
She's
be
so
my
good.
Mom.
Yep. And she would be perfect in this role.
Yes.
All right. So my actress is 45 now. So she might have actually been able to bear Michael J. Fox. She was in The Craft. She was also in The Waterboy. And she was in American History X. She also plays Dorothy Gale in Return to Oz from 1985. In her first role,
Yay.
Her name is Feruza Balk.
Feruza Balk is
Feruza
great.
Feruza Balk is going to be my Diane Wiest.
How old is she now?
Mrs. Conway. She's 45.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I
yeah.
Her, yeah.
All right, so are we good on the recast of Bright Lights, Big City? Let's go around and say if it's a recommend or not.
It's a soft recommend.
I'm gonna pass.
Yeah, I'm passing as well. I had never seen it, but having seen it now, I would not recommend other people watch it. So, with that, we are gonna go to intermission, but not before we say, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some 8.21 gigawatts. It's not the right number. It's not the right number. All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent.
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply
a Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Choppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. We are going to skip over the beer check-in this week because we've got some drinking to do later. But when we get back from intermission, we like to do our 2019 movie marathon. Sean and I try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year, hopefully one per day. And we check those movies in on Twitter. Mine's under the Cinema Chop Shop handle, and Sean's, yours are...
My handle is A Windowless Van.
And it is the 158th day of the year. Sean, which movie check-in are you on? What are you up to?
I just checked in 185.
Jeez Louise. All right, so I'm looking at my activity here. The most recent movie I checked in was... That can't be right. Yeah, 161. 161. So I'm actually ahead of the game.
You've been knocking out a few, I noticed.
Nice. All right. So what do you want to check in first, Sean?
I'm going to check in 2018's The Perfection. The Perfection.
Okay.
Far from perfection itself, it was enjoyable, yet predictable. The cello soundtrack makes everything better. It's about this cellist who graduated from this prestigious school for music.
Cello Academy.
Yeah. Cello?
That is run by Steven Weber. Is that what we decided his name was?
Steven Weber.
Yeah, from Wings. And then there's another young lady who is a recent graduate, and the two are invited back to adjudicate the tryouts in China for the newest student to be admitted. It's alluded to that there's some dark, shady things that are happening at this academy.
Mm-hmm.
And things begin to come to light, but there are some twists and turns. And I just can't give away anything more than that.
Okay, no spoilers.
It gets kind of weird and kind of grisly a little bit.
Okay.
It's a recommend. I enjoyed it.
I hear the rain letting up outside right on cue.
That's great.
That is awesome. All right. So quick. I just got a beep on my pager from Chief Corrections Officer Dana. It's actually 1.21 gigawatts. 8.21 is way too many gigawatts. We would blow up the DeLorean.
And the clock tower.
And the flux capacitor and all of that stuff. All right. So my first check-in this week is going to be... number 154, and it is an animated feature. It's called Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders, and it's from 2016. And it was made to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the 1960s TV series. Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar all reprise their roles as voices in this animated feature.
I remember this. It was a fun animated feature. Yes. I liked it a lot.
All right, what's your next one?
My next one is Meek's Cutoff from 2010. Mm. This is the Kelly Reichardt directed film.
I've seen this.
It's a stark drama set on the Oregon Trail.
Yep.
Where instincts and trust come into question.
And who's the main character?
Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams.
Paul Dano, Bruce Greenwood, Zoe Kazan, and Shirley Henderson.
An all-star cast.
Who played Moaning Myrtle, Myrtie or Myrtle on Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
So, great cast. This was Reichert's first, like, movie with a budget. But if you listen to the show carefully, I've checked in a few of her early independent films. So this one follows the same suit of road films, but in a much different era. They come into contact with a Native American and capture him in hopes that he will lead them to water because they are very, very hungry, very, very thirsty. But there are differing opinions in the camp as to whether or not they should trust this Native American.
Why did they think he knew where the water was?
Because he's from the area.
That's
he's a
racist,
local.
Racist, man.
I know, right? But, yeah, it's that's a recommend for me.
Okay.
I liked it. I thought it was well-crafted. And I've also looked deeper into Kelly Reichardt's filmography as a director. I mentioned the Lucy and Wendy that Michelle Williams was in. She's also in another Kelly Reichardt film that I'm going to try to watch next. So apparently those two are like this.
Kelly Reichardt, the wife of number one, Commander Riker.
No.
So my next one is going to be number 155. It's also an animated feature, and it's called Batman vs. Two-Face from 2017. It's a direct sequel to Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders. Adam West in his final role. Burt Ward and Julie Newmar all return and are joined by none other, speaking of Star Trek, William Shatner as the voice of Two-Face slash Harvey Dent.
I saw this one as well.
I don't need to explain any of the plot of these because it's old canon.
Cereal and
Yeah, and I've been discovering this new thing. This is a life hack. If you use chocolate milk instead of regular milk, your cereal is even more sweet.
Yes.
All right, next
wow.
up.
Wow. My third check-in will be from 1997. It's a Swedish film called Funny Games.
Oh, Funny Games.
Funny Games.
Is this the Swedish version or
yes,
is this the...
Yes, of course.
Well,
no, actually, I think it's the German version.
There was one made in 2007.
Maybe it is Swedish then. No, this is...
Yeah, this was the original cast.
This is the one with Michael Pitt and Naomi Watts.
Right, exactly.
Not this one.
So, yeah, this is a gut punch that flips the home invasion genre on its ear, complete with fourth wall interaction. What the director doesn't show you is what's most upsetting.
Ah, okay.
And it's a firm recommend.
Nice.
Definitely. It's rewatchable.
It's unsettling.
So another quick correction, I'm actually on 162 because the one that I'm about to check in, I haven't actually checked in on Letterboxd or Twitter, but it is a 2019 animated feature called Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And so this is a crossover between the Turtles and Batman. The Turtles go from New York to Gotham and they help Batman fight not only Ra's al Ghul, but also the Penguin, the Joker, Bane, Mr. Freeze. I don't think the Riddler shows up, but pretty much all of the main villains are being dealt with by the Turtles and the Dark Knight.
Sounds like the Riddler should show up.
Yes.
I was gonna say, he's smoking better shit than I can afford.
All right, so... is that three for me and three for you?
That's it, Betty.
All right, so we are now...
Hillary,
do you have anything you want to check in?
I've been TVing.
Okay.
So, with that, we are going to go into the second part of our feature segment, which is The Recast Continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Again and again and again.
Redux. And so, movie number two is from 1987. It was directed by Paul Schrader, who also directed American Gigolo, Cat People, and the very recent Ethan Hawke vehicle, First Reformed.
He also co-wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull.
Did he write those or direct them?
Co-wrote.
Okay, yeah. He was also a very prolific screenwriter as well.
Taxi Driver was based on his life when he was in
very
LA,
cool.
I believe, driving a taxi.
The movie itself is called Light of Day. Give us a quick plot synopsis of this movie.
It's set in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. The end. It's a pair of siblings who must choose to pursue their dream of being a touring rock band or support their family and, you know, do the stay-at-home thing. It's a very bleak and grim, mm-hmm. mundane movie.
With some good performances, though, from our lead actors who we're going to be recasting. First, we've got Michael J. Fox, who was 25 at the time, playing Joe Raznick. Then we've got Gina Rowlands, the great Gina Rowlands, who was 57 at the time, playing Jeanette Raznick, the mother. And then we've got Joan Jett, my mom's alter ego when she decides to party. Joan Jett was 29 at the time, playing Patty Resnick. And man, does she have some charisma. So, shall we go ahead and get into recasting?
Yeah.
All right, so first up, Joe Resnick. Raznick or Resnick? Raznick? Joe Raznick. Hillary, who do you have for that role?
Well, I was being pushed in the direction of Haley Joel Osment, even though okay. that was just absolutely awful. I went with Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay.
Harry Potter fame. He can play the
Harry
guitar.
Potter.
MJF plays the guitar.
Yep.
Self-taught.
Okay.
I mean, it's Daniel yeah. Radcliffe, Harry Potter.
Gotcha. All right, Sean.
All right, my actor is from Australia, as are all my actors in this film. I wanted to change the venue a little bit.
There you go.
So mine is set in Australia. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean, one of the sequels. He was in Maleficent as Prince Philip. He was in the terrible Gods of Egypt.
Oh.
But he plays Dick Grayson in the TV version of Titans, the Teen Titans show.
So Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin,
Robin's,
Batman's sidekick.
Yeah. His name is Brenton Thwaites. Brenton Thwaites.
Okay. Unfortunate. Very British name.
Yeah.
All right. So my Joe Raznick was in a movie called Damnation. He's also in Stonewall. Speaking of LGBTQ Pride Month, yep. and Pride Month. And he plays Isaac on The Handmaid's Tale. His name is Rohan Mead. Rohan Mead is going to be my Joe Raznick.
Cool.
All right, moving it on to the mom, played by Gina Rowlands. Her name is Jeanette Raznick. She was 57 at the time. And Hillary, who did you decide to recast?
Oh, Diane Lane.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Good pick.
Sure, it's distorted, but...
Well, that's somebody calling you.
Yeah. Sorry.
That doesn't look like Diane Lane at all.
Anyway, so she's age appropriate.
Yeah.
She's great.
Has a little bit of a Gina Rowlands quality, too.
Yeah.
I've always considered her a very classical beauty.
I had a hard time. This was the one I had the hardest time recasting, was Gina Rowlands.
Okay. So. And how about you, Sean?
Oh, I like my pick. I went with another Australian, as I said. She was in the movie Stick It.
Mm-hmm.
She was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Strictly Ballroom.
Oh.
And she was Robin Swallows in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Her name is Gia Carides.
Okay. Nice. I love the spoof lady names in Austin Powers that are a parody of the kind of spoof lady names in James Bond movies.
You've seen Strictly Ballroom, right?
Yeah, it's one of Baz Luhrmann's.
She played Liz Holt, the really obnoxiously blonde dancer.
Okay.
That was like almost the arch rival that was gobsmacked that they were doing the move, the paso doble, you know, so yes.
Yes.
So she's great, and I like her pick.
All right, so my actress is 63 now. She was in a favorite of ours, Hereditary. She's also in the series The Leftovers, and she's in a movie called Compliance. She also plays Aunt Lydia on The Handmaid's Tale. Her name is Anne Dowd.
Dowd
is going to be my Gina Rowlands, and she's going to bring a little bit more of that gritty darkness to the character. Also, quick reveal. All of my picks are people from The Handmaid's Tale. Did you guys catch my theme on the last movie?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was
because he's from Kansas and it's a fish out of water story. And you could substitute New York for the Emerald City.
And Dowd was great in True Detective.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. So, final role that we're going to recast is Patty Resnick, played by Joan Jett, who was 29 at the time, and Hillary.
I went with Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
She's going to have to put some stank on it, but she's a singer.
She is a singer. I'm a big fan of Zoe. Player. Sean is not
I
so
am
much.
Not.
Well, I mean, I think she could pull it off.
Gotcha.
She's got a great voice.
So I wonder... never mind. I was going to make a joke about Bones, but that's her sister. Go ahead.
All right. Travis already knows my pick for this one, but hopefully he's already forgotten.
I have.
She has never been in a film before, but then again, neither had Joan Jett. Mm. You know, Joan Jett was a badass of her time, and I wanted to go with a musician who is kind of along the same lines, and she is Australian, and she is an excellent singer-songwriter, but she's not everybody's cup of tea. It's Courtney Barnett.
Oh, yeah, Courtney Barnett. I did forget. You told me that Wednesday night. Yeah, that's really good. She is on the top of her game right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hillary, are you familiar with her music?
Yeah.
She is really good at writing self-loathing lyrics. Uh-huh.
I think her biggest hit album has been The Avant Gardener. She says, "Give me all your money, honey, and I'll make some origami," or something like that. "Give me all your money, and I'll make some origami, honey." That's one of her best lines.
Okay.
All right.
There are better ones than that, but yes, that's her.
My actress, my Patty Resnick, is 27 now. She was in a movie called Cam, C-A-M, all caps. She's also in the TV show Hemlock Grove and on the TV show Orange is the New Black. She also plays Of Warren on The Handmaid's Tale. Her name is Madeline Brewer. And if you're not familiar with her name, but you do watch the show, she's the one who only has one eye now. So, yeah.
I've seen enough of it to know who you're talking about.
All right. So are we good on Light of Day? Recommend or no?
No.
Not a recommend. Not a recommend from me either. We've got a bunch of tire fires today. All right. So... it's time for our bonus segment, which is going to be a battle royale.
Oh, goodness.
Between three figures. They're going to have a fight to the death on the set of Family Ties. And only one can survive. ¿Quién es más macho? Michael J. Fox, Matthew Fox, or the fantastic Mr. Fox?
Okay.
Hillary.
Ooh. I have to be honest, I haven't seen The Fantastic Mr.
Oh, you can leave now.
But I'm going to go with him because foxes by nature are cunning and wily. If Aesop's fables
have taught me it's my spirit animal.
Anything. Mine's a possum.
Oh, because you play dead?
No, that's just what the card said.
You're a marsupial? So let me ask you this. If human beings had pouches like marsupials, do you think that the police would be able to search them? The pouches?
Interesting idea.
Wow. Yeah. Way to tangent.
Because that's a whole my body, my property kind of thing.
My pouch kind of thing, yeah. Maybe by like a officer of the same sex.
Yeah. There's a lot of mucus in there, officer.
They check other pouches. The prison pouch.
Hey, yeah, the prison pouch. Matthew Fox, the secret is he's already dead. Yeah,
he was on the island.
Yeah. He's been dead the whole time. Michael J. Fox, it is his home territory. Mm-hmm. It's his house.
Yep.
He's going to have backup from...
And it's his birthday.
He's going to have backup from Justine Bateman.
Justine Bateman, and Mallory.
And Tina Yothers.
Yes.
Let's not forget her.
What was her name? Jennifer?
I don't know.
What was the little sister's name on Family Ties?
And then they brought in essentially the Cousin Oliver character in the later seasons. And then, of course, you got Nick.
E.
E. And then...
Also, Tom Hanks making a cameo as an alcoholic drinking vanilla extract.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
like everyone's going to be like...
So, I don't know. He does have the home field advantage. However, you do have the fox. And he does fight in that movie.
He's a fictional character as well.
But he does fight in that movie.
It's true.
And he is voiced by...
George Clooney?
Exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, he's got that going for him.
Okay.
Yeah. That voice has seen things.
If that again, voice could talk.
I'm going to have to say Michael J. Fox just because of the home field advantage.
I got it. All right. Well, then I have to go with our boy, Matthew Fox, because not only is he going to bring it like the island, he's also got a party of five who's going to have his back.
Didn't he survive cancer on party
of
five?
Yes. All right. So that's our Battle Royale, and we each picked different people, so that works out well. So we want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We are hosted natively online. We are Cinema Chop Shop on podbean.com. Also, our Twitter address, which you can tweet us, is at Cinema Chop Shop. Our Facebook address is facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And our email address, which we check all the time, is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Also, we've been posting some pictures to our Instagram page.
Yes.
I'm way behind the game on Instagram, but I just started posting some things to the Cinema Chop Shop Instagram, and that's our handle on there as well. I want to thank the engineer, Homeward Bound Escape from San Francisco.
Homeward Bound 2.
Homeward Bound 2. Thank you for what you do. Do you know what next week's episode is?
Well, next week we are technically off. However, there will be a mini-sode.
Mm-hmm. Which we're recording tonight.
We're recording it tonight. It will be a Goonies mini-sode. We're doing a live screening of the Goonies.
For the 34th anniversary of that film.
And then after that, we will return with our new season, and it will be the Cannonball Run episode.
Okay, so for Cannonball Run, we've got a sneak peek trivia Q&A. The question... this movie was originally planned as an action movie, talking about Cannonball Run, starring another leading actor. But after that actor's death, the lead went to Burt Reynolds, and the movie became a comedy. Who was that other actor?
Ooh, Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen is correct, sir.
Holy ding, ding, shit! Ding, 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 ding.
You win a baby Ruth.
Chance to open my mouth.
So, Hillary, thank you for being here. You're always a great guest. And I do want to point out to the listeners that you're wearing an awesome homemade shirt that says, "Fuck Troy's Bucket."
Yes.
Now, when I saw your picture earlier, I read it, because I'm slightly dyslexic, I read it as, "Fuck Troy Buckets." And I think that's just a really good name for a douchebag in a movie, Troy Buckets. Anything you want to plug?
Podcast.
Okay.
No.
No? Sean, plugs from you?
Seminar.
No, you know, I plugged the podcast. Yeah. Oh, man.
All right.
I will back up and say, you know, there are some cool new beers coming out at Seminar Brewing. Be sure to check them out.
Each
week in the month of June, we got something new coming out. And I believe by the time this one drops, we will have Java Crow on tap. The following week will be Pixels of Many Colors. We're going to have...
Pixels of what?
Many Colors.
Okay.
We're going to have Pixels, Megapixels, Blueberry Pixels, Strawberry Pixels... Pixels Postdoc, which is the pineapple chipotle
and boysenberry,
and one other one.
Boysenberry.
I can't think of what it is. It's not boysenberry.
All right. So with that, we will say farewell. Thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in on your dial and finding us, the big dial that is the internet. And also, please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
Take your bartender.
Back to the Future.